Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Well, 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 this is a day of blessing. And I just pray, brother and sisters, that you have been filled with joy today that is unmovable, unshakable, a joy that just ignites your soul to lift up holy hands and praise God today. This day is a beautiful, blessed day, and I pray that you have one today as well. Now you are with Mission from the Heart Radio, and in studio today are me, Carnita Smith, and Minister Harold Copeland. So thank you for your prayers, for praying for him, and he is with us today to continue in this wonderful series, The Benefits of Being in Christ. And we are going to enjoy our time with him in addition to enjoying our time with the Lord as we continue to move through the scriptures and be blessed by the benefits of being in Christ. And I hope you have enjoyed what you have learned thus far, and that the benefits are innumerable. They just come so many that we just say them all, but we thank God for every single one, no matter how big or small they are. We are just so forever grateful to God. So without further detainment, we are going to just move right into our lesson. And I know Brother Harold is coming with joy and excitement, and he's ready to just dispense the word of God in its most beautiful way as we continue to pick up with this series, The Benefits of Being in Christ Jesus. So welcome back, Dr. Harold.
Thank you, Minister Smith. And hello, everybody. And thank you for your prayers. Our God is a prayer and answering God. He still hears and answers prayer. Hallelujah. His healing power is still moving from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. And when his children need him, he will stand up on the throne and he'll come see about it. Thank you for the prayers of the intercessor. And as you know, I am Brother Harold Copeland. And along with my dear sister and great teacher, Minister Smith, we will be the teachers in the studio. I always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart radio broadcast. And it's always an honor to let you know that it's an honor to fellowship with you concerning the things of our Lord and our God, Jesus Christ. And we are still on the series, The Benefits of Being in Christ. And we will be focusing on the topic, salvation by grace. Hallelujah. I like that. I got to say that again because it's so sweet to my lips. Salvation by grace. And we're going to jump right on into the teaching. And we'll start out by reading our launchpad scripture for the series, which is Psalms chapter 103, verses 1 and 2.
Blessed the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
And that's just so appropriate because I can't forget the benefit of the healing power of our Lord and our God. The way the word ministered as the intercessor was interceding for me. And I heard the word speak and say that he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquity. The chastisement of your peace was upon him, and with his stripes you are healed. Hallelujah. And I begin to receive my healing. And we're going to go ahead and step into salvation, which is healing is part of salvation. And I'm going to go ahead and release that salvation, the two main categories, and they're both equal. It's the forgiveness of sins, then it's healing. We've been taught that the forgiveness of sin was up there, and healing is down there. But they're equal. They happen at the same time. They happen at the same time. He shed his blood. The same time he took the 39 stripes. It was all during the process of the passion. So just as like we can receive our salvation freely by faith, we can receive our healing the same way, freely by faith, because both of them are part of the salvation plan. And the word that we use is called the atonement. Both of them are part of the atonement, and they are co-equal. But the church has been teaching the forgiveness of sin above the healing of the body. And we have to change that because that's not the word. They're co-equal. Just like God wants our sins forgiven, equally he wants us to be healed every time. Every time we ask, Lord, save me. Every time we ask, Lord, heal me. Glory to God. Both of them are on the cross. Hallelujah. And both of them were sealed with the third day resurrection. And both of them give us power to trample over the enemy. And what's that name? In the name of Jesus. Salvation by grace. We're going to step into the teaching through the word salvation. I was doing some research on the word salvation, and I found a definition that I like very, very much. And I'm going to open up with that definition, salvation. And it reads, in Christianity, salvation, then it has open parentheses, also called deliverance. Somebody say deliverance. Then they say, or redemption. Close with parentheses. So salvation can be deliverance, beautiful word. Redemption, then it says, it's the saving of human beings. I like that. The saving of human beings from death. Salvation. Salvation, deliverance, redemption. The saving of human beings from death. Amen. And from separation from Christ. So that means we're no longer separated from God. So we are saved from death, and we are connected to God. So that's why we can't die, amen, because we're connected to God, amen, forever. You remember we talked about eternal life, amen. When we get connected to God, we step into eternal life, amen. We begin to walk eternal life down here on the earth realm. And can't nobody kill us. God call us home. And when he call us home, we just take that eternal life on home. Glory to God. Because the eternal life is the key that opened up the door to get us into the house, into the mansion. Amen. Because Jesus, it's a mansion I'm building for you. Glory to God. So it's in Christianity, salvation, also called deliverance, also called redemption. It's the saving of human beings from death, that they no longer be separated from God. And it's all through Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Amen. And then it takes us to a place called justification. And you know I love that word. justification. We stand in the presence of God just as if we have never committed a sin. Hallelujah. That's where we at right now. Glory to God. We are justified. Glory to God. Amen. We are pure, righteous, and holy in the presence of our God. Hallelujah. We stand in his presence just the way Jesus stood in his presence. Glory to God. And when he see us, he don't see us. He see the blood of Jesus. Somebody say the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Power, there's power, there's power, wonder-working power in the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that's that power that healed me and rose me up. Hallelujah. And that's why I glorify that power. Hallelujah. That power is real. It's present, and it's for a people of God. Hallelujah. When the enemy try to rise up against us, glory to God, he come in one way, God will make him scatter seven ways. Glory to God. We give God glory, honor, and praise. I'm so excited, amen, because my God showed up again and 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 again. He always do it. That's what someone say, he'll do it again, amen, and again. Glory to God. He's the God of again and again and again and again. And we thank you, God. Salvation by grace. Somebody say salvation by grace. Now, we know that in Jesus' teaching through the Gospels, we know that he mostly used parables. Somebody say parables. Now, parables are short stories that illustrate spiritual truth. Say that again. Short stories that illustrate spiritual truth. And the parable we're going to use for this teaching will come out of Luke. You know, Dr. Luke, you know, Luke was a doctor. He was probably the only professional one of the disciples. He was actually a medical doctor. So we're coming out of Dr. Luke, chapter number 18. And we're going to read verses 9 through 14, but we're going to read them one at a time. So we're going to start out by reading Luke chapter 18, verse 9.
Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised.
Amen. So Jesus, he was speaking to, teaching a certain audience. Now, this audience consists of those type of people who trusted, they trusted that they were righteous in and of themselves. Okay, they trusted that they were righteous in and of themselves. And because of this, automatically despise other people. In other words, they trusted in their own self and they looked down on everybody else. And Jesus was speaking in a parable to them, but he was speaking to them, but he was talking about them. Through the parable, them is those who trust in the things they do. and there's a word for these people. We call them self-righteous. Somebody say self-righteous. Now, we understand there's only two types of righteousness. There's the self-righteousness. Does not glorify God, but glorify self. But then there's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that God gives us, and that righteousness glorify God. So Jesus was talking to a self-righteous audience about herself. And he said they looked down on everybody else, and they had a prideful spirit. They didn't have to open their mouth to say it. You can look at their spirit, and what their spirit is speaking is, I'm better than you. You know, glory to God. Glory to God. I'm better than you. Oh, help me, Jesus. Let's read verse 10.
Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector.
Okay, so we have two men, and they say they went to the temple. Okay, in modern day language, what we'll say is two men went to church. Yes. Two men went to church to pray. In other words, they went to a prayer meeting. Where are you going? I'm going to the church to the prayer meeting. Two men. Now, one of the men was a Pharisee. Somebody say Pharisee. And the other was a publican, which is a tax collector. A Pharisee is a very, 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 I don't think there's enough very to put on a religious person. And what the word Pharisees actually mean is, I'm a separated one, you know. And basically, it's a holiness they give themselves. Because that's what holiness means. It's separate. That's what holiness means. Separate. But the Pharisees give themselves a false holiness, and they consider themselves to be separated from everybody else. And they were so religious. Their prideful peacock spirit would say, don't get close to me, or you may defile me. Don't welcome this to me. People may think I know you. Don't look at me. I'm not like you. I'm better than everybody. And you know, I have to say this. We have some religious Pharisees today. My church is the only church that's going to heaven. I heard that before. If you don't go to my church, you may not really be saved. My pastor is the only man that's really anointed of God. Our choir is the best choir in the whole world. And we're the only one that has the anointing. Yeah, we have some religious Pharisees today. But in the teaching, this Pharisee believed that he wasn't like any other man, that he was better than everybody. Now let's look at the other man. He was a publican, a tax collector. And they had a rep, and they gave it to themselves, and it was a bad rep. Amen. They was considered to be very evil people. They was considered to be very sinful people. They cheated on a regular basis, and they lived to defraud whoever they could defraud. They collected taxes by any means possible, whatever it takes. And they stuck a portion of the money in their own pocket. And they even gave the government some for hush money. They wasn't favorable people at all. And their own peers hated them. Verse 11.
The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector.
Amen. Now let's look at this very religious Pharisee. Examine his statement and notice who he was praying to. He was actually praying to himself. Even though he was saying God and using the right words. You know, and there's a lot of that in modern day church. You know, the religious jargon, the religious sayings. Highly blessed and highly favored. Amen. And we are. Amen. But we do use religious tones in church today. Now, he was using God's name. And he was saying the right things. But we have to understand that God was not acknowledging his prayer. And that will be revealed later on in the scripture. But let's just examine his prayer. He said, God, I thank you, I am not like, he's telling God, and he's not listening to God, I am not like other men. The Pharisee, the religious man, he's telling God who he is, God who created him, instead of God telling him, I created you to be this, he's telling God, I am this. I am not like other men. I am not sinful. I am not an extortioner. I am not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. And I'm definitely not like this publican tax collector over there. You know, they say when you look at sin, look in the middle and see what you see. I is the center of sin. This Pharisee despised, and he looked down on others because he thought he was better than them. Verse 12.
I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.
Amen. Notice he continued to use the middle letter of sin. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Notice what I do. You know, he say, I fast. And the popular fast is the fasting of food. But in the Bible, in the New Testament, the Bible tells us that when you fast, don't tell nobody. He said, wipe your face and anoint your head and don't have a sorrowful countenance, but be strong in joy that nobody can even tell that you're fast. And then he said, I also give money to the church. He was one of those people who say, don't bother me. I live a good life. I give to charity. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't chew. I don't hang around those that do. And I give my money to the church. Somebody say self-righteous. 13.
And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Amen. Notice the body language of the tax collector, standing afar off. He did not even go all the way into the church. He was ashamed of his life. He was ashamed of the things that he had done. He stood afar off. I've been there. When I'm ashamed around people, I don't come close. I stay afar off. And that would... the tax collector was doing. He was ashamed. He was in the presence of holiness. And he knew that he was unholy. So he stood afar off. And notice, you know, just symbolically, God is up. But he didn't even look up. He looked down. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He didn't even feel worthy. Didn't even think he had access to heaven. So he beat his breast. And see, when the Bible talks about beating your breast, that was started in the Old Testament. And after they beat their breath, they usually tore their garments. And it was a symbolic way of saying, I'm sorry, God, for what I have done. It was a sign of repentance. Somebody say repentance. It was a contrite heart. A broken spirit. You know what David said in Psalm 51? A contrite heart, a broken spirit, create in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. And you know what? The word of God said God never, never despises. This tax collector, this sinful man that he was, he cried out to God and prayed, God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. Verse 14.
I tell you, man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
the publican went home justified. He left church justified. He left the prayer meeting justified. And you know I love that word, justified. He left church standing in the presence of God just as if he had never committed not one sin. He was declared before God. You know, when you when something is declared, one didn't do it, or one didn't earn it, or one didn't achieve it. It's just someone of great power and authority opened their mouth and declared it in their life. And God declared him righteous. God gave it to him through a declaration. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. He was in right standing. Hallelujah. Glory with God. I like this one here. He was forgiven by God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the question is, why was he forgiven? I'm glad you asked. Why did he go to his home in right standing before God? I'm glad you asked. Why didn't the Pharisee get justified? I'm glad you asked. It's because the Pharisee exalted. Somebody say exalted. Exalted himself, said, I am better. I am not sinful. I am not like other men. He exalted himself. Let's read verse 14 one more time.
I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
So the Pharisee exalted himself, and he was brought down. While the tax collector, he knew he had no standing before God. He knew he had nothing he could offer God. He knew he was a sinful person. And the Bible says Jesus didn't come to save the righteous people, but Jesus came to save sinners. And we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we need to be like the tax collector. The tax collector, the key word, humbled himself and found forgiveness and pardon. And maybe there's somebody listening, and you may not be a tax collector, but you may you know you're a sinner. You know you fall short of the things of God. You know you haven't been still long enough to even hear God. You know you haven't seek God through his word. And you don't even remember the last time you went to church. And you know God has something for you. And you know that he has a plan for your life. And this is the hour. This is the moment, this very time. So you can get it right. Now, we may have some self-righteous people tonight also. I've been there. I was exalted. And just like that scripture says, God will bring you down. Amen. So tonight, if you saw this Pharisee and you saw yourself, don't wait for God to bring you down. This is the hour. This is the moment for you to just humbly bring yourself down and repent and ask for forgiveness. So I'm going to turn you over to Minister Smith, and she's going to lead you all into salvation.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So if you would humble yourself before the throne of grace, that you would come ready, willing, able, with bowed head and humble heart. And brothers and sisters, if you would partner with Minister Harold and I as we pray and lift up someone in your circle of influence, or someone that the Holy Spirit has just impressed upon your heart, that he wants you to lift them up in prayer. And those who are listening to the broadcast today, let's just do what is necessary and give your heart to Christ as you follow along with me in a simple prayer of salvation. So if we would, let's bow our heads and touch and agree and lead somebody to the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, here I am. I am a sinner. I've done some things that I know you know about. I've said some things that weren't pleasant, loving, or caring. And Lord, my thoughts, they take me to places I know you do not want me to be. Deliver me, Lord. Clean me up inside. Lord, I need you. You are my only salvation. I trust and believe by faith that you died on the cross for me, a sinner. I believe your blood ran down for me. Here I am, Lord. I come to you as humble and true as I know how. You see me surrender. I love you. Please forgive me. I know you will. Lord, I trust and I believe and I acknowledge by faith that I am saved. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, I believe. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. And I pray, my brother and my sister, that you now know today that you are a child of God. Welcome to the family of faith. And I encourage you, Brother Harold and myself, encourage you to please seek out a Bible teaching church. that you will be baptized by submersion of water. And when you get up, run and tell somebody that you are a Christ follower. They will see that you have been changed, that you will grow and go in grace. Seek out a small group Bible study or a Sunday school class, that you would be discipled, that you would be made afresh and new through the Word of God, that those who knew you in the past will see you grow in the grace of God, and they know that you will say, I know I've been changed. So, hallelujah, and thank you, Lord Jesus. So we encourage you to continue to listen to Mission from the Heart. Don't give up on us. And
Amen.
We continue to expound on the Word and expose the Word and extend the Word of Jesus Christ to you so that you can continue to grow and go in grace. Praise you, the Lord. We are so excited to know that you are now a child of light, a child of God,
Amen.
A lover of God. Amen. So welcome. And Brother Harold, we're going to continue to carry on with the lesson.
Praise God. And I echo that welcome to the body of Christ. And I echo that congratulations for coming into the family. And it's so appropriate for the teaching of salvation by grace. And that is what you received, salvation by grace. And we're going to continue to speak on salvation by grace. Grace is such a wonderful word, beautiful. And we are going to try to pull a definition of what grace means. But we really can't wrap grace into words, because grace is truly the loving heart of our Heavenly Father. In the Greek language, which the New Testament was written, grace is a word called charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, charis. Even though grace is the heart of God, we're going to try to put a definition on it. The free, unmerited favor of God towards people who don't deserve it. Amen. Let me say that again. The free, unmerited favor of God toward people who don't deserve it. Free means it didn't cost Harold nothing. Unmerited, Harold didn't earn it. Favor, it was special. And it just came from God, and he gave it to Harold. Harold didn't deserve it at all, but God gave it to him anyhow. Why? Because of the loving heart of God, which is grace. And the tax collector didn't deserve it. And we that came into the family tonight did not deserve it. But we found God's favor because Minister Smith led us into a prayer of humility. Somebody say humility. We came humble unto the presence of God. Now, there's another word in the Greek, and it is called charisma. And it's charis, C-H-R-I-S, but it has a suffix of M-A. And it means a specific, somebody say specific, manifestation, specific manifestation of God's grace, a specific manifestation or form of God's grace. And that is what we receive, charis and charisma, along with the tax collector. We found justification, which is a good word. Just as if we stand in the presence of God, just as if we have never committed a sin, which gives us right standing, somebody say right standing, before God as a gift. Somebody say gift. What a mighty God we serve. I said, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, God, I give you praise. God, I give you glory. God, you are mighty God. You are awesome God. There is no one like you. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. Hallelujah. We thank you that you are our God. And we thank you by grace you have made us a people. We thank you that you have adopted into your holy kingdom. We give you all the glory, the honor, and praise. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 17.
Romans 5, 17. For if by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ.
Yes, and that is what God released into the hearts of a people that came humbly in his presence to receive abundance of grace. Abundance means overflow. So don't hold it all for yourself. Go find somebody else to release it into their life. And the gift of righteousness. God made sure that you had right standing in his presence. He didn't require you to earn it or become deserving of it. He just gave it to you as a gift. And when a gift is freely given, we just freely reach over and take it. And that what happened in the spirit realm, you reached over and took the gift of righteousness. You may came to mission from the heart and felt unrighteous, but you won't be leaving that way. You will be leaving with right standing in the presence of God. And God offer you and me this right standing before him as a gift. And as we've seen in the passage, the tax collector found that gift of righteousness and justification. That gift of righteousness that only comes through Jesus Christ. Somebody say Jesus Christ. Let us read John chapter 1, verse 17.
John 1, verse 17. And it reads this way. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
And our topic, salvation by grace, and that grace and truth came to us through the Word, by the Spirit of the living God, by the heart of God, which is the agape, unconditional love of God. And we receive it as a gift. And we humble ourselves so that God can exalt us. And He has given us right standing with Him. And we receive His mercy. We have been pardoned. We have been acquitted. We have been freed in the realm of the Spirit of God. For who the Son set free is free indeed. We are liberated because God's Spirit is in the studio, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We have a new identity. And it's not an identity of ourselves, but it's an identity that we have in Christ. We are in Christ. We are new creatures. Old things are passed away. Somebody say, bye-bye, old. Somebody say, bye-bye, old. Old things are passed away. All things. Somebody say, all things. All things are become new. Somebody say, hey, all things. And in the studio tonight, I release the new old things. I release the new old things. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself. We've been rejoined to our Heavenly Father. We've been brought back to the position of the original creation. The breath of God has been released in the studio into our nostrils. We are a quickening spirit. We've been refreshed. We've been refined. We've been renewed. We've been strengthened. And we give God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. And we want to look at what comes with that newness. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18.
While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not are eternal.
Yes. In Christ, we have been equipped to operate beyond the natural realm. In Christ, we have been equipped to operate beyond our five senses. In the way we operate beyond our five senses is we operate in the spirit. And the word of God tells us by saying, walk in the spirit. And what it does, it takes us out of the natural and out of the five senses, out of our own mind. See, our own mind keeps us in the natural. Our own mind keeps us in the five senses. But he said, walk in the spirit and you won't mind. Walk in the spirit and you won't mind the things of the five senses, the things of the natural realm. And I just want to add this, you know, Christians try to stop doing, minding the things of the five senses so they can walk in the spirit. But the word of God doesn't say it that way. The word of God just say, just walk in the spirit. And if you just walk in the spirit, you won't mind. It didn't say, stop minding, then walk. No, it said, walk in the spirit, and you won't mind. And we walk in the spirit, we won't be minding the things that are seen. We'll be minding the things that are unseen. And we'll come to the spiritual revelation, know that the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal and everlasting. Look at somebody and say, I'm eternal. Look at somebody and say, I'm everlasting. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7.
For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Praise God. And to be able to see not the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, it takes faith. It takes faith. What is faith? I'm glad you asked. Faith is the substance, things hoped for, and the evidence not seen. And the scriptures say, now faith is. Faith makes whatever you're hoping for. If you're hoping for something, you don't see it. Amen. Because why would a man hope for something he sees? Amen. We hope for what we cannot see. But faith makes what we're hoping for substance. That means it makes it tangible. Faith makes it tangible. And he said, faith turned into evidence. With hope, we don't have any tangible evidence. But faith makes what we're hoping for. Faith becomes the tangible evidence, even though we don't see it naturally. And it's like this way. If I gave you, just signed it over, the title deed of my car to you. I just signed over the title deed and gave it to you. Even though you don't see the car. You got the title deed, and you know the car is yours, and you don't even see the car. And that's what faith is. Faith is the title deed to what we're hoping for, even though we don't see it. But we know we got it because we got faith. You know you got my car. You got my title deed. It's signed over to you, but you can't see it. The faith is the title deed. And by faith, the anointing of God has blessed us individually and collectively. By faith, Christ has become our Lord, our King, and our Savior, and our Master. By faith, we are delivered. By faith, we have eternal life. By faith, we are forgiven. By faith, God loves us. And there is nothing we can do to stop him. And his love has totally liberated us and set us free. And we give him all the glory. We give him all the praise. And we give him all the honor. In Jesus' name. Minister Smith.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the love that he spreads, shares, and blesses upon his children. No greater love. No greater love. Well, this brings us to the end of this broadcast. And I thank God for Minister Harold and his message for today concerning more benefits through salvation by grace. Such a blessing. And we just want you to continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio so that your salvation, your growth will continue and you will be fed and continue to drink the living water through the Word of God. So always remember, brothers and sisters, that the grass wither and the flowers fade away, but the word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. So God bless you and have a wonderful rest of your day and week. God bless.